is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Izzy Santiago Jr., Director of Boys Basketball for MAC AAU and Assistant Varsity Coach at Lutheran West High School, and you're listening to the Hoopheads Podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improve communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads Podcast. We are recording tonight at 11:30 p.m. after NBA Finals Game 1 between the Nuggets and the Heat.
Oh, I thought we were coming out to talk about Monty Williams getting hired, Mike.
No. I don't think we're going to talk about that. We could be talking about the John Morant suspension that's coming.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to spend any time on that. Give me your first thoughts of Game 1 on Game 1. What did you see?
What I saw was what I thought I was going to see, Mike. I thought Denver was going to win that game. I thought they were going to take care of business. I thought the Heat did some interesting things. Bam obviously had his best game of the playoffs, right? It had to be best game of the playoffs for him. Especially he started off not very strong, and then he really came back. But I think what we talked about on the podcast on Tuesday and what you hinted at a lot and alluded to was there's just no way that they're going to be able to guard Jokic and stop him. And, you know, if Denver gets in a situation like that, they need to post him up, no one's going to stop him. I mean, there's just no one to stop him. Tonight he became the third player in NBA history, Mike, to have 450 points, 200 rebounds, and 150 assists in a single playoff run. Do you want to take a stab at the other two players?
Give me the stats again. How many points?
450 points, okay. 200 rebounds, and 150 assists.
Well, I'm going to go Wilt.
No.
That's too late. Again, I keep forgetting that these guys didn't play enough rounds back in the day. So let me go Magic.
Nope.
No. How many other guys have done this?
Two.
LeBron.
LeBron is one.
And let's see. Well, the rebounds is a tough one. And, man, I'm trying to think of who would have the combination of.
He's a legend.
Larry.
Larry Bird. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Interesting.
Jokic was the only player. He's the second player to score 27 points, 10 rebounds, and 14 assists in a finals game. Who's the only other player who has done that? That's an easy one.
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron. Okay. There's one other one I saw that was interesting. Players that go 25, 10, and 10 with a 60% field goal percentage. Jokic is the fourth player to do that.
In a finals game. Man, I mean, that could be anybody. Shaq.
No, LeBron, Jimmy Butler, and James Worthy.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, look, so, I mean,
there's nothing there. The Heat might steal a game, right? But there's just no way. There's just no way this is going to go down. Like, I don't know if this is going to be a snooze fest all series. I mean, because there were some interesting moments in the game, and like Miami ended up cutting it to like 7 in the fourth quarter, but
not really, though, never, right? I mean,
there was never a chance. The game was never in doubt after the first quarter. Like, it was over.
It just felt like that. Okay, so what was it, 59-42 at halftime, right? And Miami comes out and scores the first 7 points of the second half, cut it to 10. All right, well, then Denver comes out and scores, I think, the next 6. It felt like every single time that Miami even got, and I wouldn't even say close, but every time they started to pull it within, well, maybe they can climb back into the game, Denver would just hit them with a 5-0 run or a 6-0 run or an 8-2 run or whatever it was, and just push it back out to a comfortable margin. And look, you can look at lots of things from this stat sheet that were maybe an anomaly. Like, I don't know if you saw that Miami shot 2 free throws tonight, which is the lowest
ever in that finals game ever, right?
Yeah. I think in the playoffs, not just the finals. I think it would set an NBA playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, that the graphic showed. But to only shoot 2 free throws is pretty, I mean, that's pretty crazy. Although it really was a fairly, I don't want to say it was a clean game, but Denver only went to the line 20 times, which is still fairly low. So there wasn't a lot of calls going either way, but clearly I'm sure Miami will have something to say about the fact that they only went to the line 2 times. But then you look at Denver's 3-point shooting and they're 8 for 27. And honestly, like watching that game, it felt like, I guess Michael Porter Jr. hit 2 probably, and I think he hit them early on in the first quarter. And then it felt like, man, Michael Porter's really playing well. And then you look at his stat sheet and he's 5 of 16 and 2 for 11.
Well, he was 3. Jacking up a lot of terrible shots. Tonight.
He was. But that's kind of his MO. But I guess my point is that Denver shot 8 for 27 from 3. So below 30%. And they still won going away. I mean, their best player took 12 shots. He was the third leading shot attempter on their team. And you said it and repeated something that I've been saying, at least since it looked like Miami was going to be the team, that I just don't see what you do with Nikola Jokic if you're Miami. Like,
well, I know what Shaq did with Nikola Jokic. He officially inducted the Joker into the Big Man Alliance in the post game.
All right. Well, there you go. Nice. You can't help it. I mean, let's put it this way. He should certainly be there. There's no question about that. And Miami just doesn't have any answers. Like tonight, I don't know. Do you say that they forced Jokic to be a passer? To me, that seems like.
Well, it looked like they were going to double him a lot at the beginning, but like, I don't know.
But they really didn't. It felt like Jokic decided he was going to pass.
They did it for the first 2 or 3 possessions, and then they stopped. Like, I don't know if that was the intention to give him that look and see what it did. And then, but like, I don't know. I mean, Jokic didn't. The only shot he took in the first quarter, Mike, was the layup right at the end of the quarter.
Right.
Like, I don't
know. He didn't aggressively attack in the post with the intent to score, but instead he just picked him apart with passing. And I mean, he got Aaron Gordon, 3 or 4 layups or dunks, and Murray in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And he passed
Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon played really well in the first quarter. Like, he just played bully ball.
He did. And look, Aaron Gordon's, I mean, we've seen him in the dunk contest. He's a really, really, really good athlete. He's big. He's strong. He can jump. He's fast. And he did a decent job, I thought, on Jimmy Butler. Butler played, I would say, a very pedestrian game. I mean, he went for 13-7-7. But if Jimmy Butler averages 13-7-7 in the series, Miami has absolutely no chance of – they're not even going to win a game if he goes for 13. And then your other guy who was – in competition with Jimmy Butler for the Eastern Conference final player of the series, Caleb Martin was basically non-existent, only played 25 minutes and had 3 points. I'm sure if you're a Boston fan tonight, you're going, where was this Caleb Martin when we needed him? But look, the story of this game is Denver, and Jokic only takes 12 shots. It felt like whenever he wanted to, that
if it got into a danger zone that they could just give him the ball and he could just back a guy down and get one of his little flip shots or jump hooks or whatever anytime he wanted to. And he's just, I mean, he's such a good passer. And the fact that Denver shot 8 for 27 from three, I mean, if they even they get up to 35%, they knock in two or three more. And now you're looking at, it's a 20-point game, which it basically was for the majority of this game. They just don't have, they have no answers for what Jokic can do. And tonight was a night, again, when you look at it and you say, well, you know, if you're going to limit Jokic as a scorer, well, then these other guys have to knock down shots. Well, I mean, they really didn't as far as knocking down outside shots. But the thing was, is that Jokic created so many layups, right, for his team tonight on cuts and little post-ups and off the dribble handoffs and things where they just got easy shots because they ended up, despite the fact they were 8 for 27 from the field, they shot 50% for the game overall. And so, you know, I mean, they just were getting, they were getting really good shots. And it just felt like anytime Miami went on that little run, Denver was just able to bring the ball down the floor and be like, okay, let's give the ball to Jokic. Let's have him read the situation and let's have him get us a good shot. And that was the formula. And I don't see anything that Miami can really do to change that part of the equation. Now, maybe if you're Miami, you can argue we can play better offensively. I mean, they shot 40% from the field. They shot 33% from three. They only went to the line two times. So there's certainly things that they could point to. Max Strus is 0 for 10. Caleb Martin's 1 for 7. So you could look at that and say, well, there's room for Miami to improve. But I just, I to be honest, I don't care. I feel like this game could, Denver could score 130. Miami could score whatever. And it just feels like Denver has answers for everything that Miami can throw at them. I just don't see what's going to be different in any of these games because Jokic is just, you can't guard him one-on-one if you're Miami. You can't double him because he's just going to find open guys. And Denver honestly has put together almost the perfect team around him. You have shooting. You have guys who are intelligent cutters. You have good defenders. I guess Murray, you'd say, is maybe at best an average defender. He's not great. He's not terrible. But KCP is a good defender. Aaron Gordon's a good defender. Bruce Brown, good defender. It just, I don't know. I don't see what the answers are for Miami. I just don't.
Yeah. So the real question is, Mike, how long until we get to hear what John Morant's suspension is? Like, is this going to be a 5-game series? Is this going to be a sweep? What do you think?
I mean, I said it was going to be a sweep on Tuesday night when we recorded.
But nothing, there was nothing swayed your mind.
There was nothing I saw tonight that makes me think that it's not going to be a sweep. I mean, I guess I'm discounting the toughness and resiliency of Miami. And granted, they were coming off tonight a really tough emotional series where they play and 3 days later they got to come back. And after winning game 7, they got to come back, fly to Denver in the altitude. And they only lose by 11. They only shoot 2 free throws. 2 of their 5 starters basically go 1 for 17. There's a lot of things that they could point to, like I said, that maybe they could hang their hat on or maybe they could hold out hope. But if you watch that game, it just felt like Denver, I don't want to say it was in cruise control, but it felt like they were never worried. It felt like they never panicked. And it just felt like they could generate a good look, a good shot, an open three, a cut to the basket, a Jokic post up, pretty much whenever they wanted. And I just don't see what Miami can do from a defensive standpoint to be able to change that. Like the zone, I don't know how many possessions of zone Miami played tonight, but
the first quarter was a lot of zone and it didn't work well.
Right. It wasn't effective. We talked about that in our preview that if you're going to zone Jokic, you're just asking for trouble because he's just going to pick guys out and get dudes open shots. And there's just never been anybody like the guy. I mean, he's so big and he's so difficult to deal with in the post. And yet you can station him at the top of the key and He can run dribble handoffs. He can run screen and roll.
Well, and he's shooting 47% from behind the arc in the postseason coming into today.
I mean, there's really no answers for him. I mean, my favorite play in the NBA right now, honestly, is him grabbing the defensive rebound and just getting on his horse and dribbling the ball up the middle of the floor.
When he's galloping.
Yeah. And I mean, you can just see him running as hard as he can. Whereas most NBA athletes, when they're running as hard as they can, they don't look like they're running very hard. Whereas with Jokic, you can clearly see that, like, this guy is pushing himself to the limit to get the ball down the floor. And he just makes good decisions. And I know that you and I talked a little bit about it. You mentioned that he threw the pass in the first quarter to Aaron Gordon, and you said, that was just a simple pass. And you're 100% right. And you were 100% right. And I think that's what makes, like, really great passers have the ability both to throw the super fancy, hard to find pass, and they also have the ability to just find the next easy pass. And so much of being a good passer is just, are you willing to move the ball to the next guy who's open? And obviously Jokic is a level way beyond that, but sometimes just being the best guy on the floor and being willing to make the pass to the guy who has a better shot, like, that's contagious. It's why Magic Johnson was who he was. It's why Larry Bird was who he was. Is that stuff becomes contagious, and it turns guys into different kinds of players. Like, look, Michael Porter didn't play great tonight, but the dude had 13 rebounds, and he's bought into what he is on the Denver Nuggets. Like, I think 2 years ago, he still thought he was going to be a first option on a really good team. And Aaron Gordon, same way, right? When he was in Orlando. And these are guys now who are here, and they're like, man, all I got to do is just run hard and work to get open, and this guy's going to find me. And there's joy in that, man. And that's what I see with Denver. They're just, again, it looked like they were in cruise control. I know they weren't, but that's how it felt.
Yeah, there's a lot of joy in the city of Denver right now, Mike. The ABC affiliate was out reporting the live after the game, and he said, it feels like victory, it sounds like victory, it smells like victory, and also legalization.
Oh, there you go. That's what it smells like?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll leave those comments.
Well, it's Denver. I mean, come on, it's legal.
I got you. That was a good quote. That was good. That was a good one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you see anything that Miami can do to make this any different? I mean, I just don't.
I mean, you can't expect Bam to have that good of a game again. Like, he's not been good at all. I mean, but maybe Denver's plan is let Bam try to do that stuff, and we're just going to shut Jimmy Butler down. Like, and the big thing I have, Mike, is there's Miami starting such a small lineup. I mean, you just saw it every single time. Aaron Gordon basically looked like a sixth grader playing basketball against a third grader, like, tonight at time, like, in the first quarter. He just was playing such.
Miami was defeated.
Oh, my Siri was trying to tell me the score of the game. I don't know why. Anyways. Like, he just looked like he took control and just went to the lane, and Gabe Vincent was guarding him. I mean, that's not going to work, guys. Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
But Miami just has, this is my point. Like, Miami has no options. I mean, are you going to play, is Kevin Love going to help you?
Kevin Love didn't play a minute tonight, right?
That's what I'm saying. Is dusting off Kevin Love going to help you with the problems that you have? I don't think so. Like, Haywood Highsmith played tonight, but he's 6'4". I mean, he had 18 points tonight, and great contribution from him, but he's not the answer defensively.
I think it's time. Dust him off, baby. Come on, Udonis. Earn that paycheck.
Well, let's put it this way. If they got to put UD in the game, then I would say that there's a pretty good indication that the series is pretty much over, and they just want to get Udonis Haslam on the floor so they can say he played in the NBA Finals in the year 2023 at, what is he, 42 years old or something. So the Miami just doesn't have – they don't have answers for the questions that Denver is throwing at them. And unless you're going to get the Caleb Martin – from last series, and you're going to get the Jimmy Butler from the Milwaukee series, and you're going to get the Bam from game one of this series. I mean, unless you're getting that performance, those performances from those guys every single night, I just don't see how Miami A can stop Denver from scoring, and B, how they can generate enough offense to be able to score with the Nuggets. I don't know what the formula is. To me, it'll be interesting to see what Spoelstra comes up with in game two, because I don't know what they can do differently, because I just feel like Jokic is going to have the answer to whatever you want to do with him. And obviously, look, Murray's a really important guy and he's got the ball in his hands a lot, but anytime there's a pressure moment, the possession always starts with Jokic and his decision making. And maybe it ends with Murray and he's been phenomenal, but Miami just doesn't have answers for Jokic. It's as simple as that. I can't, maybe they win a game in Miami, but I still think this thing has a really good chance of being a sweep.
I mean, would I be surprised? No. I just think they'll pull one out. I don't know why I think that, but
I just don't see that. I don't see the formula because Jokic is going to produce at a level like this was probably, I don't want to say his worst game, but I mean, he only took 12 shots and he still put up 27, 14, and 10. I would say that's going to be on the lower end probably of his production, if I had to guess. And I don't think any of their other guys, I mean, Murray played well, but he wasn't lights out. Michael Porter Jr. goes 2 for 11. I guess Gordon, you would say, had a good game. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was okay. I mean, and they still won by 11. And honestly, it never felt like it was anything but a 20-point victory. So good luck to Eric Spoelstra and the Heat coaching staff trying to figure out what you do to slow down Denver and how you attack them. I think you said it really well when you just talked about, like, Denver is huge. I mean, they have a huge, huge team. And Miami is not well equipped to deal with that, because really, other than Bam, I mean, they just don't have any size. Like, there's, I mean, you can't play Cody Zeller. Obviously, they don't trust Kevin Love at this point. So you're asking Bam to basically play the whole way. He played 40 minutes tonight and was really good. Was making his jump shots, which he couldn't make anything against the Celtics in the last series. But I mean, you know, this is about as good of a Bam performance as you're going to get. And I keep coming back to, I just can't see what Miami can do that is going to make a difference, because Jokic just has an answer for everything. And ultimately, the ultimate answer is, if he had to score every time, it feels like he could just get the ball in the post and just mash whoever was guarding him and just take him right to the rim and drop in one of his little floaters or hooks if it came to that. If everybody else went stone cold and couldn't make anything, I still feel like he could just get to the rim anytime he wanted to. And if they started double or triple teaming him, whatever. I mean, guys would only have to make 10 footers or cutting dunks. I mean, I don't see the path.
Okay. I mean, I respect that, Mike. I totally respect that. So anything else?
No. I mean, on to game two. What, we got to wait till Sunday now?
Yeah, the NBA needs to fix this. Like, this is dumb.
This is one of the things that's most annoying about the finals. And I guess I'm okay with a third day on a travel day. If you want to say it's East versus West and you want to give a third day off for a travel day when you're traveling across the country, like, I'm okay with that. But this 3 days off in between games where you're not changing cities, let's do away with that. Let's go back to, or let's get to every other day. It would be, the rhythm of it would be a lot better, especially as a fan when you're used to seeing games almost every night. And especially when you feel about the rhythm of I just like the rhythm of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals of every other night. It just feels like that's the way a series is meant to be played. And then you get to the finals and it just feels like, we got to wait 3 days. I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Mike. All right. Anything else?
No, we can, we'll leave it there and we'll be back again after game two. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, let's wrap it there and we will catch you. Don't forget to listen to our other episode that came out. Well, this episode will drop, I guess by the time we put it out, it'll drop on Friday morning, but we also have our regular episode with Coach Steve Lammy from Grove City College, who was actually my graduate assistant coach when I was at Kent State. So make sure you give that episode a listen after you check this one out if you haven't already. So please check out that episode with Steve Lammy. And thanks for checking out this Game 1 2023 NBA Finals recap. And we will see you again Sunday night after Game 2. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.